Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Wirtz. Oh, Jackson, sorry. Mrs. Johnson.
May it please the court. My name is Mark Wirtz. I'm here in my capacity as a federal panel attorney representing Derico Johnson. Excuse me. There are overall two issues in this case. One is a Franks issue. The second, a sentencing issue pertaining to 3553A and 3553E. I plan on addressing the Franks issue as the main point. However, I want to point out that with respect to the overall second issue, this argument that I've presented in my brief has also been briefed identically by the Federal Defender's Office, Appellate Division in the Central District of Illinois, in the cases of U.S. Scott, Burt Scott, and U.S. versus Ward. Excuse me, those cases are already pending before this court, and therefore the court procedurally might want to make a note of that. U.S. versus Scott is 08-3542, and U.S. versus Ward is 082982. I've identified this fact in both my direct brief, my initial brief, as well as my reply brief in the footnotes. Also, I want to call attention to a mistake I made. Excuse me. And I noted this on page 4, footnote 1 of my reply brief. And that is, in my initial brief, I included a factual statement on page 32, which actually is from the Scott case. And that's a mistake on my part, and I regret it. I apologize to the court. And that paragraph is the first full paragraph on page 32 of my, not the reply brief, but my initial brief. And that paragraph should be stricken. With respect to the Franks issue, Your Honor, or Your Honors, we filed a motion requesting a Franks hearing in this case, and I represented the defendant in the trial court. And the trial court denied our request without a hearing. But the defendant in this case is entitled to a Franks hearing. It's my position. And I think there is a strong position here for a Franks hearing. The court found otherwise. First, we made a substantial preliminary showing that a false statement was included in the search warrant complaint. Here there was not an affidavit, but rather a verified complaint signed by a Peoria police officer. And that complaint contained some facts that are disputed. There are two exhibits attached to our motion. One is a statement from the defendant. The second, an affidavit from another individual who's a friend of his that disputed some of these facts. There also was a reckless disregard for the truth, and these false statements were necessary for a finding of probable cause. Therefore, having met our position is we have met those tests, and therefore we are entitled to a Franks hearing. First, with respect to the information that was inaccurate, there's a question as to whether a confidential informant ever entered on the premises. The police officer's sworn complaint indicated that there was a confidential informant that entered on the premises on three occasions during the 30-day period preceding October 8, 2007, and the most recent visit was within 72 hours. However, the statements attached disputed this. The statement and affidavit attached
to our... Well, apparently it's what the confidential informant told the police officer.
Well, Your Honor, that's apparently... That could be what happened. The question is, when one looks at the totality of this complaint and the facts, one must question whether there was even a confidential informant. With all due respects to the police officer, that both the statement of the defendant as well as the affidavit attached in support of the motion indicate that no one was in that other than the defendant and his girlfriend, who was the affiant, as well as their children, were in the residence during that 30-day period. And also
you
during
mean the... You're just saying the police officer made up the confidential informant?
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't think we're entitled to a hearing to find that out. Obviously...
I mean, is there any evidence of that?
Well, the affidavit and the statement attached to our motion is the evidence that's presented. Now, we have not been afforded a hearing to explore this. Ironically, there's, if you look at the complaint also...
Following on Judge Cudahy's question, is it your position that that the defendant can always demand proof of the existence of a confidential informant?
Not always, Your Honor. We first have to meet the we have to present the facts in our motion as to the test, and that is first we have to show that there's some type of falsity that this was either knowingly made or in conscious or in a disregard for the truth, and finally that those facts are important to a finding of probable cause.
What's the false statement here?
There's several. First
What's
is,
worse?
I'm sorry.
What's the most serious?
The most serious is I would say that they alleged that the residence to be searched was one color when in fact it was another.
Why would that cast doubt on the existence of the confidential informant?
Because also he alleged that, well, first, whether there was a confidential informant goes to the first area that I talked about, whether somebody was even in the residence for the 30-day period other than the defendant, his girlfriend, who's the affiant, whose affidavit is attached to the motion, and then also the children of the two of them. That's the only people they alleged that was in the residence during that 30-day period. Nice. So that's the important part. That's one of the facts. The other fact that is wrong is they gave a description of the supposed defendant, and the difference in the weight was 69 pounds. That's a significant difference. So when you look at the, again, we got the
well,
wrong.
Well, there's a difference between what, 220 and 290, something like that?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, yes, which... It's still a significant difference.
Well, I don't know. It's how tall are these? How tall is this person?
Rico, I would say, is about 5'6", I believe.
5'6"? Yes,
actually, he's 5'6", 26 years old.
5'6", and he weighs how much? Is he the 220?
294 pounds.
He weighs 290, and he's 5'6"?
Yes, sir.
Well, a person who weighs 220 and 5'6" is pretty huge, too.
Admittedly, that's the truth.
I don't know if people are good at discriminating among weight differences of very fat people.
But a 70-pound difference is a significant difference. And also, again, if we take the entire circumstances of this and we look at the, again, we got the color of the house.
You saw a very fat 5'6" high tall person. You would have a lot. You would know he was very fat. You'd have a lot of trouble guessing his weight. I would think, unless you consort with such people regularly. Or
well, I think, but when you have this much difference, I think
yeah.
It's not. And also, again, looking at it from the standpoint of, is this man entitled to a Franks hearing? We've got the residence described incorrectly. We've got the defendant described incorrectly, and we have a question as to whether there even was a confidential informant.
Yeah, but what creates that question?
I'm sorry?
The third question.
Why does any of this create a question as to whether there was a confidential informant? I don't follow that.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I'm not following your question. I apologize.
What
well,
evidence
you keep
is there?
Telling us that there's a question of whether there was a confidential informant.
And what evidence?
What evidence is? Does any of this? What light does any of this show on that question?
The what evidence is there that shines light on that question
yeah.
is the fact that the defendant and his girlfriend, who's the affiant, both of their his statement and her affidavit are attached.
Well, yeah, I know that, but what does that tell you about whether there's a confidential informant?
Well, if there was nobody, well, what it goes to is whether the confidential informant, if there was one, or number two, whether they're lying. I'm sorry?
Who is lying?
Perhaps the police officer.
But how do their affidavits show the non-existence of the person? I mean, it may show that he lied and so forth, but how would it show that he didn't exist?
Well, when you look at the totality of the facts, number one is
he made a bunch of mistakes. I understand that. Maybe lying. But what is it that shows that he was fabricated, that his existence was a fabrication by the police?
I think when one looks at the entire facts again, the remainder of the affidavit is very noncommittal, shall I say, or it's very vague. It's very generic.
Okay. Well. Thank you, Mr.
Wirtz, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cox.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Richard Cox for the United States. Obviously, I'll only address the Franks issue since Mr. Wirtz didn't address the sentencing issue that he presented. And I just say it seems to me, and the questions from the Court also highlight, that the problem here is that below Mr. Wirtz's argument was not the non-existence of, or the lack of existence of this confidential informant, and so there's really no development of that. He presented affidavits that tend to show that the confidential informant may have lied, but nothing to connect the dots to show that the police officer knew that that confidential informant may have lied. And again, if you look at that entire affidavit, it certainly shows that there was a confidential informant, that this police officer knew this individual. He described the nature of his relationship. He presented a photo spread to him. There obviously was such a person as DeRico Johnson. His physical description, with the exception of the weight, was almost identical. The description of the premises was virtually identical. So he points to whether the house was gray and pink or tan. When you specify an apartment by number, address, and the complex in which it's located, it wouldn't be a lie. It might be a simple disagreement as to whether or not the color is tan or gray and pink, and it certainly shows nothing with regard to the police officer's knowledge or proof that the police officer knew the confidential informant did not exist, which is really what Mr. Wirtz's argument is at this point. So he's essentially saying because there was an inaccuracy with the weight of Mr. Johnson and a possible inaccuracy with the color of the apartment complex, that those two facts somehow suggest that the police officer knew the confidential informant did not exist and lied to the judge to get the search warrant. And there's just simply not enough evidence of a substantial preliminary showing to have warranted a Franks hearing, and I believe Judge McDade certainly correctly ruled in this case. If the Court has no further questions, I'll give back the balance of my time and ask you to affirm the judgment.
Mr. Cox, and thank you to Mr. Wirtz. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client, and the Court will be in recess.